While you're getting ready to turn to the scripture, which is James chapter 1, I might add, this coming Sunday, because we'll be in church this Sunday, but I wanted to put that out there because I just realized that this, or was told that this coming Sunday, the 6th, will be 66 years Ellis and Eloise have been married. So if you get a chance, call them this week. 66 years. That's a long time to look across at the breakfast table at each other. James chapter 1, starting in the 16th verse. We read these words. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all that moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. May God add his blessings to this passage. And as we seek a further understanding of it and the word he has for us, let us pray. Father, we ask that for this moment we listen. I'm listening. You talk through me, not my words. We listen, we hear, we strengthen ourselves from it, so that we may go from here knowing it was good to be here and be ready for whatever the week has to throw at us, holding you firmly. We thank you, Father, for this time. And we pray together, we listen together, we sing together. In Jesus' precious name, all of his children said, amen. Now listen, I was in a hurry. You've got to understand, I'm always in a hurry. It gets me in a lot of trouble. But on this particular day, I was in a hurry. I had to get out of the state of Kansas. Look at Lee back here. Now, I'm kidding. I like to pick on Lee about that. Personally, I think it's a beautiful state, and I have often endeavored that if I ever hit the lottery, I'm going to buy a 1,000-acre spread in Kansas or Wyoming or Montana, put my house in the middle of it so I can see all of you all coming and know when to lock the door. I mean, welcome you in. And if I have to drive a half an hour to get to a Walmart, I'm too close to civilization. And there's only one problem with that. I don't play the lottery. So I guess that won't happen. But there I was in Kansas. True story. About 10 years ago. And I was in a hurry to get home. I had been on the road now, drove out there in a pickup truck, and bought a trailer, a special kind of trailer for hauling tractors. Drove out there in a flatbed truck to get this trailer and bring it back home. Now, I think it was 1,800, 1,900 miles to the big town of Waterville, Kansas. I got my trailer. I was ready to go home. I had a lot of ground to cover, and I was going to cover it. And I'm coming down the road, and it's an old two-lane road, and here's a railroad crossing, and you can see forever in both sides. And I'm headed for the railroad crossing, grabbing gears, and I look, and a fella in an old pickup truck is stopped at the railroad crossing, and the arms are down. I thought, what in the world just happened? Great. I don't know my way around here, so can't find a side road. So I pulled up beside him, or behind him, and I sat there, engine running, and the old man got out of the truck, and he goes, and I went, oh, golly. And I turned the engine off, and I got out of the truck. And I walked up to him. He goes, how you doing, son? I said, I've got to go. You mind if I just sneak around you? He goes, oh, you don't want to do that. I said, well, there's nothing coming. He goes, oh, no, the great UP's coming. Can't you hear it? I thought, look here, mister, you've been too long in the cornfield. I can't hear nothing. Now, for those of you who don't understand, the Great UP is the Union Pacific. If you're out there, you refer to it as the Great UP. He said, look there. And I looked, and off in the distance, probably from a distance of about Chambersburg, was a light. He said, the UP's coming. We sit here and wait. And then I heard faintly the air horn. Don't you ever call it a whistle. Diesel trains don't have whistles. They don't have any stop. Steam has whistles. And I hear it, and I'm like, I said, how far away is the thing? He goes, oh, a couple miles. And I'm like, mister, I'm getting ready to go through. He said, oh, you don't want to do that, son. All right, fine, whatever. And I stepped back to him, and I turned to say something, and suddenly I heard the sound again, only this time I heard it. And I looked, and a man in his dirty old bib overalls, I had my clean ones on, stand there and smile. And the next time I heard that sound, in the space of a minute, comes the Great UP. Wide open, fuel rolling, hardest I've ever seen a train going through. It went through that crossing, I guarantee you, at 70, 80 miles an hour. Four locomotives up in the front, two in the middle, and two in the back, hauling a complement I know had to be 100 cars. And when it went through that intersection, the arm swung back and forth from the way the wind moved as that thing went through the intersection. And he turned to me and he goes, can you imagine if you'd have got stuck on the rails? Stop, look, and listen. Learned a valuable lesson that day and didn't even know it. I kept thinking about that after a while. At one point, I got out on one of them straight roads out there and I started racing the Great UP, another one of their locomotive lines. And when I looked down, I was going 75 miles an hour. And the trooper didn't find the humor in it. When I pulled over, he walked up to the door and leaned on it. He goes, well, son, I've been waiting for you all day. And I looked at him. I said, well, I got here as fast as I could. That didn't happen. That's an old joke. You understand, though? How much of a hurry are we always in? I was in such a hurry that what would have happened? That truck had been giving me a fit, and I knew it. Pulling a brand new trailer, anything could have happened. The arms were down for a reason. That train was coming, and it wasn't stopping for Paul Leatherman's Ford flatbed. Oh, it would have stopped somewheres in Iowa. Is Iowa the next state? Whatever. It would have stopped out there somewheres and picked me off the front end like a bug on a windshield. The man said, look. And that's our problem, brothers and sisters. We get in such a hurry. We stop listening. We stop looking. We just keep right on hammering along. We lose our discernment. Jay Stowell, in his book, Fan of Flame, said discernment in Scripture is the skills that enable us to differentiate. It is the ability to see issues clearly. We desperately need to cultivate this spiritual skill that will enable us to know right from wrong. We must be prepared to distinguish light from darkness, truth from error, best from better, righteous from unrighteousness, purity from defilement, and principles from pragmatics. In other words, brothers and sisters, we need to stop, look, and listen. Years and years ago, I told this story. I even made a sermon out of it called Smoke and Mirrors. And when I'm hearing that, I'm hearing the story all over again. Many of you may not have heard that story. When I was a young boy at the county fair, they would turn a woman into a gorilla. Now, women, I'm not making fun of you, but it just seemed to me natural. They had a big thing there. The guy would come out, and he would, man, he was a big, tall top hat, coat with tails and a cane. You ladies and gentlemen, of course, caught my attention. I'm 7, 8 years old. In this very tent, he smacked the side of that podium. We're going to turn this woman, and then she stepped out. We're going to turn this woman into the beast from the jungle. Click. We're going to make her into a gorilla. And he went on and on. For the sum of $5, you can come in and watch that. Now, somewhere in my brain, I had to be hearing somebody saying, you cannot turn anybody into a gorilla. And yet, he said you could do it. Oh my goodness, I had to see that. So I went and I found my father. Dad. Now you imagine, I'm 47 years old. Don't forget, next month's my birthday, buy me something nice. I'm 47 years old. And at that time I was 7, that's 40 years ago, and I ran to my father and I said, Dad, I need $5. And my dad said, because he's a dad, for what? I said, they're going to turn this woman down there on the midway into a gorilla. I've got to see that. He said, you ain't going down there to waste that money on that. I'm 7 years old. I've been working on the sawmill, working on the farm. I've been earning money. I turned to him and I pointed my little stubby finger at him. I said, it's my money and I'll spend it the way I want. And after that discussion ended with me holding the seat of my pants for a couple minutes, he gave me the $5. Man, I went down there, sat in the front row. No discernment. They're going to turn a woman into a gorilla. And boy, they dimmed the lights, and this music started up, and that guy got up, and he started hammering along about what they was going to do. And I'm sitting in the front, yeah, yeah, I want to see a woman turn into a gorilla. Yeah, yeah. And they brought her out, and they danced, and all of a sudden, I wasn't so comfortable anymore. I got a little bit scared. The lights got dark, and they had these candles lit all over the place. And suddenly, the woman turned into a gorilla slowly. First, her face started to change, and hair came down. I'm 7 years old. This woman's turning into a gorilla. I can't see the exit of this place. I'm in there by myself, and I started to get scared, and I quit eating my popcorn because I was so scared. That's pretty scared for me. And suddenly, wham! She was a gorilla, and they changed her back. And I walked out of there. I was terrified. And a little while later on that day, I couldn't stop myself. I went around the back where I wasn't supposed to be. I was a little feller. And I saw how they did it. They just had her standing in mirrors, and they turned mirrors a certain way to different things. And eventually they had a mirror that made that woman look like she had turned into a gorilla. Cost me $5 for that lesson. All because I didn't stop, look, and listen. And that's where we get ourselves lost in. I've got a little humorous story here. It says a do-it-yourself catalog firm received the following letters from one of its customers. We need to stop, look, and listen. Listen to this. It says, I built the birdhouse according to your stupid plans. And then not only is it much too big, it keeps blowing out of the tree. Signed, Unhappy. The firm replied, Dear Unhappy, we're sorry about the mix-up. We accidentally sent you a sailboat blueprint. But if you think you're unhappy, you should read the letter from the guy who came in last in the yacht race. And that happens, doesn't it? I have to put stuff together. I have children. It seems like things that they want, bicycles, this, that, and the other, beds, swing sets, all has to be put together. I'm mechanically minded. I can build things without instructions. I like to read the instructions. I'm a weirdo. I love to read technical manuals. And I'll sit down and look at these instructions and go, that doesn't make sense. And yet I'll continue on. That doesn't make sense. And when I get to the point where everything's starting to fail, well, it didn't make sense, and I didn't listen. I didn't stop. I didn't pay attention to the scriptures. I didn't do what Jay Stiles said. I allowed things to get in that didn't make sense, and yet for some reason did. Brothers and sisters, that's where we're at so often. And sometimes that's how it starts. You see, we fail at listening. And when we finally do listen, sometimes it's at the wrong time and we've missed out a part. I love getting on airplane. I was on airplane one time and I heard Wendy was sitting next to me and she was yammering on about something and they were doing the safety thing and I heard him say, make sure you do this or you will die. And I went, what? What? Did you hear what he said? She said, yes, weren't you listening? Yeah, but you were, and I had to put my hand up. I said, what did you say? And he said, you're going to die. Don't listen. We don't listen. We hear, but we don't listen. We get lost in that. Oh, here they come again. I learned a saying here a while back in one of my classes. I think I've shared it with you. We get these people around us that the minute you see them, you know they're going to start talking. And you know that you don't want to hear what they have to say. And they need you. You know what they're called? They're called EGR. Extra grace required. But we don't listen because we feel there's no reason to. We find ourselves lost in this oneness. And it's going on right now within my family. We listen at the wrong time. Neil Martin, a member of British Parliament, was once giving a group of his constituents a guided tour of the House of Parliament. And during the course of the visit, the group happened to recognize and meet Lord Howlsham. The Lord Chancellor, wearing all his regalia of his office, was a great friend to Neil Martin. Howlsham recognized Martin amongst the group and cried out, "Neil!" Not daring to question or obey the command, the entire group of prisoners immediately fell to their knees. We listen at the wrong time. We don't question. We don't say, "Huh?" And it gets us in trouble. It puts us into a place that we don't want to be. And sometimes we don't listen because we don't want to do the work. We don't want to stand in the trial and the tribulation that may come from listening. Mark chapter 7. And I want you to listen to this. And I want you to follow along. Mark chapter 7. It says, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life the Lord has promised those who loved him. When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death." In other words, he's saying, listen. Listen. Stop for a minute. Look. Listen. If it's bad, it's going to be bad. If it's bad, there's a reason for it to be bad. What I think the problem is, and I find myself probably the biggest victim of this, of anybody you'll ever meet in the world, I love the sound of my own voice. Anybody else in here fall into that camp? You just love to hear yourself talk, especially when you know what you're talking about. Even if you don't know what you're talking about. A while back, we were in a museum. We were in an art museum. My wife went to college. I have been to college and drove straight through it. But she actually stopped and learned something. And she's got a degree. Don't ask me what it is, because she said and I didn't listen. But she studied art, and she knows it. I'm standing there, and we're standing around a group of people, and here was a very famous painting on the wall. And there was a little sign like that, but I didn't read the sign because I'd seen the painting before. And I began to expound on the complications that the artist had when painting this. And I said, "And Rembrandt this, and Rembrandt that." And my wife leaned up and stuck her head over my shoulder and said, "Honey?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "That's a Picasso." "What?" She said, "Yeah, and that was painted here and there, and this is what it was." And I walked up to the wall intending to prove her wrong. And the little sign said, "Pablo Picasso," and there's the painting. I love the sound of my own voice. I get started going. Sometimes I can't shut up. It's a perfect thing if you're a preacher, if you have something to say worth listening to. But a lot of times when I'm running my mouth, nobody wants to listen to me because there's nothing worth hearing. One of my favorite jokes is when we see something on TV or hear something on the radio. We were watching a program the other day. There is a great program on TV called Alps from Above. And basically they get in a helicopter and they fly around across the Alps. And they land in all these little different towns over there. And they experience the life of it. And it absolutely kills me because A, I can't fly a helicopter and I want to. B, I would love to go to Switzerland. And 3, they have really cool cheese over there. And I watched that program carefully. And we were watching it the other day and the boys were asking their mother questions about it. And I said, "Well, back when I was in Switzerland," and the boys have learned to just turn to me and go, "Shut up, Dad. You weren't there." We don't listen and we talk because we get caught listening to ourselves. Because we think we have the answer. And guess what? We don't. Most of the time, the only answer we can do is to stop, look, listen, and pray. Imagine what a world would be if we listened. Jim Reepson, in his book Homemade, made this very dramatic, gritty statement. And I share it with you because it's a simple truth. It said, he was in San Francisco during interviews, and he was studying teenage prostitutes. Teenage prostitutes. The majority of them under 17. And they were asked, is there anything you needed most and couldn't get? And they laughed and joked about different things. And the question would be asked again, is there anything you needed most and couldn't get? And eventually, they would turn quiet and the tears would start to roll and sadness would fill their face. And almost to a point, the answer was, what I needed most was someone to listen to me. Someone who cared enough to listen to me. I am a father. We've got that fact well established. I have twin boys. We've got that fact well established. There are 12. That fact is well established. And they talk all the time. At 9 o'clock when it's bedtime, it's as if somebody throws a switch and they're blah, blah, blah. And when the alarm goes off but the switch turns back on at 7 o'clock in the morning, they talk all the time. And I listen to about 10% of it. And every now and then I catch myself missing something and I have to make them back up. And I realized if I hadn't been listening, I might have missed something that would have been a memory, a moment, a chance. G. Gordon Liddy said, and all of you know who G. Gordon Liddy is. G. Gordon Liddy said that one of the things he does with his sons, every time he sees them, he doesn't care how old they are, one of them's a Navy SEAL, one of them had been a Marine, they're all big strapping boys. The first thing he does when he sees his sons is he goes up and puts his arm around them and kisses them on the cheek, holds them in close to him and tells them, I love you, and then listens for a minute what they have to say. How much better would the world be if we did that? Back to Scripture for a minute. I want to reiterate as James is writing. You understand James, brother of Jesus. You got that, right? Say amen. You know how he died, right? Throwed out a window for his belief and didn't care. Go back to the 19th verse for a minute. My dear brothers and sisters, husbands, wives, family. I think that's probably should have been added in there, and if not, you should certainly read it that way. Everyone, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Anybody in this room easy on being angry? Can everybody in this room say they don't get angry very fast? I better not see a single hand go up. Sonia, put your hand down. Anger. I'm married. I've been married for 15 years. Thank you. And I'm telling you right now, I get mad all the time. Because I'm not listening sometimes. And she gets mad at me because she doesn't listen. And we get mad at our co-workers because we don't listen. And they get mad at us because they don't listen. And on it goes. And one of the greatest places in the world to see anger run unchecked and people to hold grudges and people to get mad for no reason and carry it to their grave is church. It happens. And it's the dumbest thing I've heard. This should be the last place for it. I know of a situation where a woman does not go to church anymore in my home church. She walked out of church one Sunday in a huff and ain't never set foot back in there. Ask me why. Somebody say it.
Why?
How about you say it all together?
Why?
Because somebody sat in her spot in a pew and wouldn't get up. And that ain't funny. I mean, it kind of is. The person that sat in her spot had only been going to church for a little bit and was out there seeking and came in and sat down where this woman, and I know her, and she's family, have sat in that spot for 150 years. And you don't look a day over 125. I've never been so insulted in my life. Came in. This is a story. I wasn't there. Came in, saw somebody sitting where she sat and said, do you mind moving? This is where I sat. And the church was pretty full. And they said, well, we kind of like to sit together and there's only like single spots open. And she got huffy and walked out and didn't come back. Over a seat. We would do so much better to listen. James, the gospel writer, is saying, please stop. Look and listen. If it sounds wrong, if it's coming out of your mouth wrong, if it's bad, you need to discern it. You all know the fable of the Indian and the snake, right? Why am I the only one in this group that's educated? The old story, Indian story goes that a young Indian brave found a snake high on the side of a mountain where the air is thin and cold, fighting for its life because snakes need heat to stay alive. And the snake pleaded with him, please, please carry me to the bottom so I may be warm. I'm going to die up here. Poisonous snake. Young Indian brave knows this. And just says, no, I'm not going to do it. But the snake pleads and begs with him. And so finally he relents, thinking it would be better to help than to leave behind. Puts the snake in his tunic. Starts down the mountain, and when he gets down where the snake gets warm, the snake bites him immediately. And the young Indian says, why did you do that? And the snake says, well, you knew I was poisonous. Why did you pick me up? Can you say amen? Do you see what I'm talking about? And this sermon isn't for you, it's for me this week. Because I've been in a situation where I need to listen a little bit more. Because I am a fixer. I'm not a listener. If my wife comes in and says somebody ran into her car, I'm going out of that house hunting them down. Maybe if I'd stayed there for a couple minutes, they ran into her car because her car was parked and she backed into them. But the story comes, they ran into her car. You look at the back end of my wife's car on the bumper, there's marks all over that bumper. And she's hit everything in our front yard and backyard backing up. And when she does it, she blames it on me. Even though it's been sitting there for 2 years. We don't listen. I know it's funny, ain't it? Everybody in this room's got that story. Yeah, my wife or my husband backed up. But there's the problem. There are churches nowadays that are allowing sin to become part of the sermon. Am I perfect? Not even remotely close. When people say, you're a preacher, huh? Yes, I am. And I am the worst example of a Christian you will ever come across. But I pray every day to be better. What's the sign on the door out there say? I'm just a nobody talking to everybody about somebody who can save everyone. That's my job. And I listen. I don't always listen well. But if we would stop, look, and listen. What the sign on the railroad crossing said. What that old man that knew, who had lived in that area all of his life, said, don't cross them tracks yet. And he was right. If anything would have happened. Back to the scripture for the last. For a man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. If you're going to walk through this world angry, you're not walking. If you're going to walk through this world lost and not listening, you're not walking. Verse 22. And I want you to, if it's your Bible, underline it. If it's the Pew Bible, underline it. Just don't tell anybody I told you to. Verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself, period. Do what it says. Period. Stop, look, and listen. Jesus talks to us all the time if we listen. Jesus gives us the answers all the time if we just stop, look, and listen. God has provided for us the way if we just stop, look, and listen. He has shown us the blessings and the first fruits if we would just stop, look, and listen. Listen to the word, brothers and sisters, and do what it says. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we bind together. We bind together in this moment that we would come away from here learned, knowing, filled, ready. And so my prayer this week is for all of us in those moments that we're about to get angry because somebody is saying something we may not want to hear, we may not understand, that we would stop, look, and listen, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and even slower to become angry. For what that person has to say may be a cry for help, might be a compliment, it might be something that teaches us. Certainly we need to listen to you, Father, as you speak. I pray the blessings from our brothers and sisters gathered here today that they would take from this message and grow. I hand it back over to you, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. As we sing our last song, which we have changed, because what is a better song to sing about listening than In the Garden? I don't know. What page is that?
635.
So if you get ready for this last hymn, if you have need for prayer or strengthening, the prayer bench is open. If you need to straighten your heart out with Jesus, I'm here.